Hi, welcome to VLectures. We are on chapter 16 of Banking Fundamentals, and our chapter 16 is on the banker's obligations. What are we going to study in this chapter? This chapter explains to you the obligations of a banker to his customers. I have added some more obligations over and above those mentioned in the books because we are going to understand that these bankers' obligations are not only on the basis of the contractual relationship, not only on the basis of the terms and conditions mentioned in the account opening form or any other sort of agreement signed between the banker and the customer. But some of the obligations are outside the regulations. These obligations are specifically meant for treating a customer as a human being, for treating a customer as a contributor of resources towards the growth of the bank, towards the growth of the economy. So friends, bankers' obligations are very much important to understand whenever you are into a business of banking, whenever you are going to serve customers in a service industry like a bank. From where does the banker's obligation originate? Everything has a source. The relationship between the banker and the customer can be said to be a contractual one. The contract specifies the obligations imposed on the banker and the customer. Here, the banker has no options but to fulfill the obligations as mentioned in the specific terms and conditions. We are not talking about those obligations which are over and above those mentioned in the terms and conditions. Those are voluntary obligations. But those that are specifically mentioned in the terms and conditions of the contract has to be mandatorily complied with. Bankers are obliged to note the ever-increasing requirements of the customer. Initially, the customer was very happy to come to the bank to deposit whatever excess money he has or to take a loan wherever there is a need for it. The banking was simply restricted of brick and mortar banking. That is, the customer used to go to the bank and request for whatever services he requires. But with the evolution of banking, with the growth of modern banking, with the growth of technology, it has a tremendous impact on the way the banking business is being done. It has a tremendous impact on the requirements of the customer. Now the customer need not come to the branch. He need not visit any of the branches of the bank. Just by sitting in his home or in his office or even while traveling, he can simply request or access his bank account through various technology tools like his mobile phone, his laptop, his personal computer, through internet banking, mobile banking, and even on the ATMs through his ATM card or a debit card or a credit card. Bank has heavily leveraged on technology to offer many technology-enabled products for improving the speed and efficiency of the services. Bankers are obliged to remember the issues that is concerned with the customers in order to save itself from the penalties imposed by regulations of not performing its functions effectively. Now, various codes and regulations have come in which has imposed high level of efficient services to be given by the banker to the customer. It's not just offering of services, but these services has to be given within specified time norms. Otherwise, in spite of giving a service, it would amount to be a deficiency in service. Hence, banker has to pay special attention not only in giving a type of service, but in giving services with high speed and accuracy as per the desire of the customer. Otherwise, he can be booked for deficiency in service, which can attract penalty under various regulations. The first and foremost obligation of the banker is to provide an attractive physical evidence. What do you mean by physical evidence? Physical evidence is a proper infrastructure wherein the customer comes in first contact with the bank premises. So if at all the premises is attractive or the customer feels like continuing to transact in that environment, then only the origination of the transaction can happen. Hence, it is not only a wish of the banker, but in the modern times, in the high competitive environment, a foremost obligation for a banker is to provide an attractive physical evidence. The first obligation of the bank starts from provisioning its potential customer a good physical environment for entering into a banking relationship, followed by technical facilities. It's not just important to just come and sit in the bank premises, but the customer has to be provided with the latest technology tools to access the products and services of the bank, without which the delivery would be impossible in this cutthroat competition. Banks are also obliged to provide peripheral evidence like the business cards of the officials representing the bank, the stationery, especially the account opening form, the paying slip, the deposit slip, the DD application form, the RTGS form, and various other forms or stationery which are required to conduct or perform a banking transaction. Brochures of various products and services also needs to be kept in the branch so that the customer can pick it up and get education about the products and services offered by the bank, so that he will come to know and decide whether the products and services offered by the bank matches his needs and requirements. And why this is required? This obligation is provided to enable the customer to gather information about the product and services and decide about availing any of the products or services offered by the bank. Hence, in a physical evidence, the customer should feel like entering into it, and if at all he decides to enter into the branch premises, all this should be readily accessible to him. Only then the visit will be a fruitful from the customer point of view as well as from the banker's point of view. Just physical evidence may not be the necessity. In addition to physical evidence, we should have good atmospherics. What do you mean by atmospherics? Bankers are obliged to provide and manipulate the physical settings to create a positive perception. Like, what can be the most important physical requirement? Once the bank customer enters into the branch, he has to feel comfortable. If it is a very hot environment, at least the basic fans or an AC will help him to cool down, bring his mind to a required level to take decisions, to do transactions. So the temperature is one of an important aspect of the atmospheric. What else can form a decent atmospheric? A good ambience in the form of pleasant temperature. For any transaction to be done, you need to have minimum lighting, because different types of customers, some of them can be visually challenged to a certain extent. Hence, a suitable or adequate lighting should be available. The colors have great impact on the customers or the human mind, so a soothing color. In addition to that, a good freshener, a good scent in the environment, a good music running in the background, which will keep all the stress levels to the normal levels of whatever type of customer deciding to enter into a banking relationship, and all other factors that affect the way, please note this is very important, especially from the atmospheric point of view, all factors that can affect the people to think, feel and respond needs to be included in the ambience of physical setting. So all that is required to make a customer feel comfortable, not only from the physical infrastructure that is available, that is visible as soon as he enters, but all those things that is going to have an impact on his mind on taking a decision of doing a transaction in banking or establishing a relationship in banking is essential, and all this has to be taken care and also becomes one of the obligations of a banker towards the customer. In addition to the physical ambience, in addition to the atmospheric, you have everything of it, but the problem is the customer is not able to enter from the main door. Even if the customer succeeds in entering from the main door, the space is so little that neither the staff can move quickly to cater to the needs of the customer, neither the customer is able to move from one desk to another. Suppose you want to open an account, you fill in your form and you have to go and deposit the cash at the cash counter, and if there is no space in between these two counters, the customer will find it very irritating. So here we have to see that the bankers, one of the obligation is to provide a good spatial layout, and this spatial layout is from the point of the staff doing its day-to-day functions efficiently and effectively. At the same time, the customer is able to move from one desk to another and avail the various services offered by the bank. The spatial layout and the functionality in the form of equipments and furniture should be provided to the customer to make them feel comfortable and get easy access, good visibility and proximity to the wide range of services. Some of the bank allow the customer to directly go to whichever desk or counter he needs to go, whereas some of the banks do not allow that thing to happen. You have to consult a relationship officer who will direct you to a particular desk which will fulfill your products and services. Various banks have various strategies to design the spatial layout of a branch, wherein in addition to your banking transactions, various other facilities are also offered, maybe a lounge for relaxation, for doing your banking transaction in peace, maybe entertaining yourself by provision of some electronic modules like internet, television, etc. Maybe various other refreshment facilities in the form of small cafeteria, maybe display of beautiful paintings and artifacts which will keep you involved in observing the features of it, unique features of it. Role of the bank staff, a very important obligation. The frontline staff must have the ability both to comprehend the need of the customer. Various other financial companies like your insurance company specifically requires advisors to undergo a training and get themselves certified as an advisor after passing the advisor's training exam. In case of handling dematerialized accounts, you should have at least one certified personnel having certification from NISM. In case of mutual fund industry, you also require certification from NISM. The basic purpose over here is the staff handling those specialized parabanking transactions should first know about the products themselves, then only they are able to give services and consultations, understand the needs of the customer. Likewise, in the banking industry also, some of the banks are ensuring that the frontline staff are either certified financial planners or even certified wealth managers, so that they understand the intricacies of various products and services, keep themselves updated with the various trends, patterns of different products and services offered across the globe, understand the consumer behavior, understand the needs of the customer, and accordingly suggest them suitable products and services, give them great comfort to avail these products and services, and finally follow up with the customer to see whether any new needs have arisen and also to fulfill those services. So the frontline staff, as we say, is the face of banking. It does a lot of things for the customer and it has lots of written obligations as well as unwritten obligations towards its customers. The bank staff should have good interpersonal skills and must be able to handle the conflicts without losing control. There are so many types of customers entering the branch premises. Some may be in good mood, some may be in a very bad mood. The mood actually establishes the transaction, banking as well as non-banking, between a customer and a staff. A bank staff should always try to understand the customer because it is his prime obligation to understand the customer, not pinpoint the customer's mistakes. Keeping aside the mistakes, deliver what a customer wants for the purpose he has come to the branch. The customer realizes his mistake and a strong relationship is established. If this comes from each and every frontline staff, the basic obligation of a banker of understanding the customer, not only from his needs point of view, but understand the customer of what he is made up of, is essential obligation of a banker, especially those having direct interaction with the customers. Even though the customer is in irate mood, based on whatever background from where he is coming, he may not be in a proper tone. He may be finding faults in each and every transaction he is having with the bank staff. There will be various conflicts in such scenarios. Again, it's a prime obligation of a banker not to increase the violent transaction, but to understand a customer, listen to his conflict, listen to what exactly the problem is, use tactical solutions for giving resolution, satisfy the customer without losing control. The appearance of the staff should meet the job requirements. Nowadays, some of the banks are giving a uniform. The entire staff, right from the front office to the branch manager, wears the same uniform. The uniformity is maintained both for the male staff as well as female staff. What does that mean? It simply means the bank is more committed towards appearance of the staff. Various staff will have various wishes, various ways of dressings. Bank is not interested in all that. Bank is interested in focusing or displaying a uniform image of the bank, and hence appearance of staff, which not only includes to the clothes, but that includes to your hairstyle, that includes to all other wares which a human being will use. For banks to be successful, banks must have executive management buy-in that trickles down to staff members who talk to the customers every day. What does this mean? The language of the executive sitting in the boardroom, as well as the language used by the staff at the front office, should be the same, and this can happen only when there is a proper communication from the top management to the frontline officers. And once that happens, what is offered to the customer becomes a product of the bank, not the product of the individual. The state-of-the-art technology will not only dictate who wins and loses as much as the business processes surrounding its use. You may have the topmost technology, but the problem is about the processing. The customer has requested you to tell his balance, but when you punch in the account number of the customer, the display or the transition between one screen to another screen takes ages. What can we talk about such processes? So what is important over here is not only the technology, but the surrounding processes as well. Bank should perform its various functions efficiently and effectively to become successful. So in addition to your technology, in addition to your resources, your proper attitude and functioning plays an important role for efficient and effective functioning of a bank, and finally to become successful. Now we will be moving on to the operational obligations. The first and foremost operational obligation of a banker is to honor the check, because the basic purpose of accepting the deposit is to repay him on demand if it's a demand deposit, or to repay him on maturity if it's a term deposit. The banker undertakes to honor the checks drawn by his customer so long as the balance is sufficient. A banker is not obliged to honor the check if there is no balance kept in the customer's account. But if the customer is having sufficient balance in his account, and the banker cannot refuse or dishonor the check issued by the customer, provided that the checks are presented within a reasonable time. It should not be a stale check. No prohibitory order of the court or any other lawful or a competent authority, such as the tax authority, is in existence against the account of the customer. Only under these exceptions, the banker has a right to refuse the payment. From one side, you have an operational angle, especially when it is not present in a reasonable time, whereas from the other side, it's a regulatory angle, because by law, you cannot honor the checks whenever a notice has been issued by regulatory authorities such as a court, income tax authority, etc. Here we have a beautiful case of Indian Overseas Bank versus Narayan Prasad Govindlal Patil. An overdraft arrangement between a bank and its customer is a contract, and it cannot be terminated by the bank unilaterally, even if it is a temporary one, without giving notice. Once the bank has sanctioned an overdraft, even though it's a temporary overdraft, the bank cannot terminate it unilaterally. Proper notice has to be given, which was held in the case of Indian Overseas Bank versus Narayan Prasad Govindlal Patil, and one foremost obligation of honoring all the terms and conditions entered into between a customer and a banker comes to the forefront. In case of Bank of Maharashtra versus United Constructions Company and others, if a customer does not have a sufficient balance in his account and he issues a check and the bank honors it, that tantamounts to a loan, and the customer is bound to honor it with interest even though there is no agreement to the facility. What does this mean? Let's go through it once again. If a customer does not have sufficient balance, the banker can straight away refuse and dishonor the check. But in spite of that, the bank honors it. Can the customer refuse such payments? No. As it was decided, it amounts to a loan and the customer is bound to honor it with interest, whatever decided by the bank for such arrangements between the banker and the customer. Please note, even though there is no agreement to the facility, a customer is bound to honor such arrangements. Checks to be presented within a reasonable time. The banker should not honor a check unless the check is presented within a reasonable time after the ostensible date of issue. As we know, a check is valid only for a period of 3 months from the date of issue. After 3 months of issue of the check, if it is presented to the bank for payment, it becomes a stale check. And hence, the banker should not honor a check unless the check is presented within a reasonable time after the ostensible date of the issue. A banker is not bound to honor an undated check or a stale check. Everything is in order, but there is no date on the check. A banker is not bound to honor. Likewise, the validity of the check is only for 3 months from the date of issue, and the check is presented after the 3 months. From the date of issue, it becomes a stale check. Once again, a banker is not bound. You cannot say the banker is obliged to follow the instructions of the customer. This particular exception gives right to the banker to refuse the payment of such checks. Now we come to the exceptions. Garnishee order. In the last chapter, we have seen garnishee order in general. Now we are going to see garnishee order in detail. The obligation of a banker to honor a customer's check is extinguished on receipt of an order from the court. Such an order received from the court at the instant of a judgment creditor, which means that person is supposed to get some money, who will be called as a judgment debtor, And such an order issued by the court will be called a garnishee order. The banker should inform the customer about a garnishee order as soon as it is received. And it has to do something more than that. By informing the customer comes to know immediately such an order issued on behalf of a judgment creditor. Let's take an example of a garnishee order. Suppose X has obtained judgment against Y for rupees 1000 and Z owes rupees 2000 to Y. Z can be ordered by the court to pay rupees 1000 to X instead of to Y, and such payment will be good discharge of Z to the extent of rupees 1000 with regard to his liability to Y. Let's break up this example and see what exactly it means. X has obtained judgment against Y, which means Y is supposed to pay rupees 1000 to X. Z owes rupees 2000 to Y, which means Z is supposed to give 2000 to Y. Now here X can go to the court and request the court to issue orders to the banker of Z to pay rupees 1000 to X instead of to Y, and such payment will be good discharge of Z towards Y to the extent of rupees 1000 if the banker of Z receives a garnishee order to make such payment directly to X. In regard to the credit balance, the banker is the debtor of the customer, as we have seen that in chapter number 14. An order may be served on the banker and such banker will take the position of Z. Such order attaches the balance in the account of the customer, and on receipt, the banker's obligation to honor the check is extinguished. So this goes in a chain, and the banker has to be very alert in keeping a track of any such garnishee orders issued by the court for following certain instructions. Now here we would like to see a garnishee order is served in two stages. The first stage is called the order nisi, whereas the second stage is called the order absolute. Now what does order nisi mean? The court directs the banker to stop payments from the customer's account, explaining, which means it's a notice issued on the banker, why the funds in the account should not be made to the bank's customer, that is the judgment creditor who has filed a case in the court against the judgment creditor. Sorry, the judgment debtor. If the garnishee, that is the banker, has any objections towards not making such payment to the judgment creditor, then he must appear in the court showing cause why he should not pay. If the court is convinced, the court may accede to the banker's request. But if the court is not convinced, then it will issue another order called an order absolute, for which the banker, without wasting any time, has to make the payment to the court, and the court in turn will make the payment to the judgment creditor. After hearing the banker, the court would issue an order, which we'll call an order absolute, directing the bank to pay the entire or part of the balance to the court or the judgment debtor. Such payment legally discharges the bank, but no such discharge is possible before order nisi is made absolute. So the banker is supposed to make the payment not at the time of order nisi, but after receiving the order absolute, after which it cannot waste even a single minute. Will a garnishee order be applicable in all times? A garnishee order is not applicable when the account is overdrawn. How can the banker remit when the account is already overdrawn? The account is in joint names of the judgment debtor and other persons, whereas the order is in the single name of the customer. Okay, fine, the customer, the judgment debtor is indeed existing and having an account, but it is not a single account. He is maintaining a joint account with some other customer. An order nisi cannot be issued on such joint accounts on behalf of a single judgment debtor. The debt is not actually due to the customer. This is the reason the banker immediately informs the customer as soon as it receives the order nisi. Here, the customer has to immediately inform the banker whether he acknowledges the debt. If the customer is not acknowledging some debt and is able to prove that he is no way connected with the judgment creditor's complaint in the court, the banker has to show cause such explanation to the court, and the court will definitely agree to it and not allow the petition of the judgment creditor, and in which case the garnishee order wouldn't be applicable. The bank is entitled to set off the balance against the debt due to it from the judgment debtor. That is the first right of the banker. The bank is aware that the money in the account is held by the customer, not in his personal capacity, but in the capacity of a trustee. So it doesn't belong to his individual money, but it belongs to the money of a trust, and hence a garnishee order won't be applicable on the money belonging to a trust. The name or the description of the customer in the garnishee order is wrong. How can you apply such order nisi? You have to get the name corrected from the court, and then only such garnishee order can be applied. Some more cases where garnishee order is not applicable. The account is a joint account and the other is made in the single name, order is made in the single name of the customer. This has been seen in the previous slide. The balance in the account at the time of receipt of the order is due to the crediting of the checks on collections. Such credits are subject to realization and cannot be treated as debt due from the bank to the customer until realization. What are the effects of garnishee order, especially in case of a joint account and a partnership account? If there is a joint account of two or more persons, it cannot be attached by a garnishee order or served on the bank, quoting only one of them as the judgment debtor. The garnishee order can attach money of the customer in his own right, which means only on his single account. In case of partnership accounts, the garnishee order in the name of the partners does not attach the firm's account, but a garnishee order in the name of the firm attaches the firm's account as well as the partner's personal account also. So if a garnishee order issued on the firm's name, the firm's property as well as the individual partner's property can be attached. Whereas a garnishee order in the name of the partners does not attach the firms, because a partner does not mean the firm. It is owned by other partners also. What happens in the case of a proprietorship account and an executor, administrator, or a trust account. In case of a proprietorship account, if the customer is a sole proprietor of a firm, the firm's account cannot be attached by the order issued in the name of sole proprietor only as a judgment debtor. So here the firm and the personal account would be treated as separate, and if the customer is a sole proprietor of firm, the firm's account cannot be attached, maybe his individual account can be attached. If the customer operates the account in a fiduciary capacity, which means some trust is created, or he is operating on behalf of some beneficiary, specifically in case of an executor, administrator, or in case of trust accounts, the balance held in such account cannot be attached as the order so issued in the personal name of the customer. So again, we have to treat a fiduciary account separately in comparison with a individual account. What about accounts impressed with trust? An account maintained by the customer on behalf of his client or under a trust cannot be used to settle personal liabilities, and the banker is not bound by the garnishee order. Here again, there are separate entities. He should make this fact known to the court. That is the reason the court asks the show cause explanation, that his customer holds the account as a trustee and not in his personal capacity. The court, after hearing any such representation of the customer and or the bank, will decide on the facts of the case and accordingly decide whether an order absolute has to be issued or the order nisi itself has to be cancelled.